ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. We continue our series on the life of Srimati Kantamma Garu, P. Surya Kantamma Garu. I have been sharing with you the inspiring tales of how she was born into a family of freedom fighters, and how right from very early age she had this desire to live a life dedicated to God. How at the tender age of 16, 17 she became a single mother, and how love for God and passion to serve the countrymen were the two strands of her life in those years. How she was the sarpanch of the village, working at the district level, at the Jilla Parishad level, in those years, in the 50s, when hardly there were any women working in the government. India had just attained independence. She was one of those trailblazing women who did a lot for the community, and at the same time constantly in contemplation of God. I told you how she had given her heart to Panduranga, the shrine of Lord Panduranga in Chilakalapudi, and how Bhagavan confirmed to her that he is the supreme divinity. He is the one to whom all the prayers reach. He is the one who is the culmination of our worship to all the forms of Godhead. And once that was confirmed in her mind, I told you how she came to Prashanthi Nilayam in the early 60s. She had a darshan for the first time in March 1961. And the opportunity she had to travel with Bhagwan when Bhagwan went to Srishalam in 1963. And I told you how Bhagwan protected her, saved her during a fatal accident while returning to Puttaparthi during this trip in 1963, and how she requested Bhagwan that Swami should come to her village. And Bhagwan said, yes, when I come to Rajahmundry next, I will come. So the scene now moves to 1964, the next year. Between February 18 and March 1st, 1964, Bhagwan did travel once again to this town of Rajahmundry, which later on came to be called as Rajamahindravaram. That is how it is known now. But before Bhagwan embarked on this trip to these districts, East Godavari district of Andhra Pradesh, Bhagwan was in Penukonda. Penukonda is just 1 hour from Puttaparthi. And Penukonda, if you have ever been to this little town, it really reminds you of Puttaparthi of the olden days. Penukonda, just a few years ago, used to have a lovely river. That would remind you of Puttaparthi. Penukonda is full of temples. In fact, the town has 365 temples, they say. It was once upon a time the headquarters of the Vijayanagara kingdom. There is a palace of Sri Krishnadevaraya, the famous Vijayanagara emperor. And this noble king wanted the people of Penkonda to think of God every single day of the year, and that is the reason why he built 365 temples. In fact, there are more temples than houses in this beautiful little town, 1 hour from Puttaparthi. In fact, Puttaparthi is surrounded with so many such beautiful sacred sites. On the other side of Puttaparthi, on the way to Bangalore, you also have the place where one of the greatest characters of Mahabharata, Vidura, did penance. The place is called Vidurashwata. It is named as the place where Vidura stayed and contemplated on God after the completion of the Mahabharata war. And that's the place which is also filled with a lot of Naga shrines, and people go there if they have to do any pujas to Naga Devata. So Bhagwan was in Penkonda on February 17, 1964. I'm just giving you a prelude to Bhagwan's trip to East Godavari district, to Rajahmundry. In fact, when Bhagwan was in Penkonda, it was the silver jubilee of the birthday of the famous Vijayanagara emperor, Sri Krishnadevaraya. And Bhagwan presided over that function. The former Minister for Information and Broadcasting, Government of India, Sri Bejwada Gopal Reddy, was the chief guest on that occasion in Penkonda, and he said, Baba has come to teach the path of Shanti, to teach the path of peace, not only to the people of India, but to the entire mankind. And in his address to the vast gathering, Bhagwan drew attention to the problems of the present and exhorted everyone to train themselves for service and for spiritual progress. Swami said, of what use is it to recapitulate the achievements of the past and to stand aghast at the monuments erected by the ancients? You must draw inspiration from them. You have lost the sense of values which the ancients had built up. Swami said, the poets, the sages and scholars commanded the homage of society, but now society does not regard and follow the principles set by these exalted souls. Society is mad after film stars and cricketers. Swami said, all the scholars and poets who have come here for this festival, you have a great responsibility to keep the vision of the ancients high and pure, and ensure that your pen does not descend to any triviality. That was Bhagwan's message in Penkonda. And the next day, on 18, Bhagwan was in Venkatagiri, in the spacious quadrangle of the Rajmahal, the palace. The previous year, Bhagwan was in Venkatagiri, and Bhagwan started the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. If you have read Satyam Shivam Sundaram, you would read beautiful accounts of how Bhagwan set up this institution to propagate the tenets of Indian culture and spirituality. Bhagwan travelled extensively in those years, conducting these sessions of Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, wherein eminent scholars and people who are steeped in Indian culture and values spoke to the people in towns and villages of Andhra and in South India. It was on Ramnami Day the previous year that Bhagwan inaugurated the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. Bhagwan said, grace is not got through desire. Grace has to be won, as the royal family of Venkatagiri has won it, by generations of effort. And their effort was for the survival of the Sanatana Dharma. Because this family has been constantly striving for the upkeep, restoration and preservation and propagation of Sanatana Dharma that this family has been blessed with the divine visit of Bhagwan. In fact, Bhagwan visited Venkatagiri almost every single year, right from 1950s till 1970s. The Venkatagiri family was instrumental in any number of projects of Bhagwan. In fact, they were the ones who ensured all the festivals and Prashanti Nilayams were celebrated with grace, grandeur and beauty in those years, 1950 to 1970. Bhagwan emphasized on the essential divinity of man and how there is urgent need for the realization of this glorious heritage by every man. And Bhagwan chalked out the future programs of the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. So Bhagwan left Venkatagiri on the evening of 22nd February 1964. After a short stay at Manikonda, Bhagwan reached Rajahmundry in the early hours of 24th February. Famous scholars and pundits had addressed the sessions of Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha on the 22nd and 23rd. In Venkatagiri, in Manikonda, Bhagwan spoke and gave the valedictory discourse on the 24th. That was in Rajahmundry. And Bhagwan said, I want an unchanging set of values, fundamental values. These are the basic values that have to be propagated, and these are fundamental for peace and joy. The next day, on the 25th of February, 1964, Bhagwan addressed another vast gathering at the Hindu Samaj in Rajahmundry. As I mentioned, Rajahmundry was earlier called Rajamahendravaram. It was derived from the Sanskrit name Rajamahendrapuram, which means the city of King Mahendra. It was during the British colonial era that the name was pronounced as Rajahmundry. That's how the British pronounced it, and that became the name to set the clock back in time and take the city back to its original roots. On 10th October 2015, the government of Andhra Pradesh officially renamed the city with its original name. And for those not aware, this city is in fact acclaimed as the birthplace of the Telugu language, the birthplace of Telugu grammar and script. All of these evolved from the pen of the city-born poet Nanayya. This poet Nanayya is also known as Adikavi of Telugu. Along with Nanayya, there was Thikkanna and Yeranna. All of them translated the Sanskrit version of Mahabharata into Telugu. So this city is very, very significant when you talk about the culture and spiritual heritage of Andhra Pradesh. In fact, it was also the hotbed of several movements during the freedom struggle of India. It acted as the base for many key leaders. When the Indian National Congress had its first meeting in Mumbai, two leaders from Rajamahendravaram, N. Subbarao and Kandukuri Veerasalingam, participated in it. In fact, it is this Nyapati Subbarao who founded Hindu Samaj in Rajamahendravaram. He was also one of the founders of the noted English daily, The Hindu. So Bhagwan addressed a vast gathering at the Hindu Samaj in Rajmundry. Bhagwan noted that this institution had completed 60 years of its existence. And then Bhagwan said, it's very important for everyone on this landmark occasion to remember the lasting values like renunciation, spiritual joy, progress in devotion. Swami said, these are the ideals consistent with the dreams of the founders of Hindu Samaj. So this is how Bhagwan's trip in Rajmundry was going on. And Srimati Suryakantamma Garu, when she came to know that Bhagwan was visiting Rajmundry, she also joined from her village Satyavada and came to Rajmundry to bask in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan. Swami stayed in the house of Nidamarthi Satyam Garu, a very ardent devotee of Bhagwan. He had a very beautiful house. You could see the Godavari from his house. There was another very dear devotee of Bhagwan, Achyuta Ramaya Garu. Achyuta Ramaya Garu used to narrate the Burakathas of Bhagwan, and he used to do it with so much passion, so much devotion. Bhagwan loved those renditions by Achyuta Ramaya Garu. There was this story of Karna, Maharati Karna from Mahabharata, which Achyuta Ramaya Garu used to sing and narrate. In fact, he had won many awards for his rendition. On Bhagwan's birthdays, Swami would ask Achyuta Ramaya Garu to do the Burakatha. As Swami would be on the swing, on the jhula, Achyuta Ramaya Garu would have the opportunity to sing to Swami. And his heart was completely surrendered to Bhagwan. Swami loved his devotion. Bhagwan loved his surrender. In fact, during his last moments, he died during the 70s, late 70s. He was more than 60 years old then. During his last moments, his wife almost caught hold of his feet and he said, you are leaving me and going. How do I manage? Who will take care of me? And Achyuta Ramaya Garu said, why are you holding my feet? You hold the feet of Bhagwan. You are asking me who will take care of you. I am asking you who will take care of me. I am going. There is only one person who will take care of us. Hold that feet. Hold that feet. Don't bother about anything. Their daughter was yet to be married. And the mother was concerned. And Achyuta Ramaya Garu said, don't worry, just hold on to the feet of Bhagwan and Swami would take care of everything. And in fact, after Achyuta Ramaya Garu passed away, Bhagwan took care of everything. Swami in fact told the devotees that the marriage of Achyuta Ramaya Garu's daughter should be performed in the way they would decorate and make arrangements when Bhagwan was coming to their home. That is how the marriage of Achyuta Ramaya Garu's daughter should be performed. And that is how it was done. And Bhagwan's presence was felt at every instance of that marriage. So that was the beautiful relationship between Achyuta Ramaya Garu and Bhagwan. And it was these two devotees, Achyuta Ramaya Garu and Nidamarthi Satyam Garu, who made all the arrangements for Bhagwan's trip to Rajmundry in this month of February 1964. In fact, it was Achyuta Ramaya Garu who told Kantamma Garu that Swami would be visiting Bhadrachalam, the next day. I told you, Kantamma garu landed in Rajahmundry because she wanted to have Bhagwan's darshan. And Achyutaramaya garu revealed to her that there are plans of Swami visiting the holy shrine of Lord Sri Rama in Bhadrachalam. Bhadrachala Ramadas, we have heard the story of the Saint Ramadas who made the shrine of Bhadrachalam world known. Swami was visiting this sacred shrine. And all the arrangements had been made. There were 50 men and women who were to travel with Bhagwan to Bhadrachalam. Swami had given the list to Satyam Garu. And Achyutarama Garu said, well, you can also come, he told to Kantamma Garu, but you need Bhagwan's permission. In the afternoon, Swami would be visiting our house. Why don't you speak to Bhagwan and get his permission? So, Surya Kantamma Garu went to Achyutaramaya Garu's house. Bhagwan was there in the afternoon. Swami was speaking to everyone and blessing everyone. And as Bhagwan was giving prasadam of fruits to all, Swami gave one to Kantamma Garu also. Swami told her to take Pad Namaskaram. As Kantamma Garu touched Bhagwan's feet, she picked up a little courage and she asked Swami, Swami, I want to see Bhadrachalam, Swami. Swami said, yes, yes, yes. You can definitely see Bhadrachalam. She said, no, Swami. Swami, you are visiting Bhadrachalam, Swami. Can I come with you? Can I also be part of your group? And can I have the darshan of Lord Sri Rama in Bhadrachalam along with you? Swami said, definitely, definitely. And then Swami told Achyutaramaya Garu, see, when you start for Bhadrachalam, you take this lady also along with you, because it was Achyutaramaya Garu and Satyam Garu who had made all the arrangements. The list was with Satyam Garu, 50 men and women. The next day at 5 a.m., all the boats were to start because the journey to Bhadrachalam was through sea. Bhagwan was staying that night in Dhauleshwaram. There was a guest house of the superintendent engineer Krishnaya Garu, who was another great devotee of Bhagwan. Krishnaya Garu, being the superintendent engineer of River Godavari, had made all the arrangements for Bhagwan's travel in the boats and had requested Swami to stay in that guest house. Krishnaya Garu's mother, Krishnamma, was also a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, and she used to stay in Prashantinilayam, and she was a bhajan singer in those days. So the boat that Krishnaya Garu had arranged for Bhagwan was the superintendent's boat, the boat for inspection of the river. So Bhagwan acceded to the prayer of Krishnaya Garu and stayed in that guest house. And this is the night before the travel was to begin to Bhadrachalam shrine. And Achyutaramaya Garu told Satyam Garu that Swami has asked Kantamma Garu also to be part of the group. But Satyam Garu said, no, no. Swami gave me only 50 names. Swami said, these people have the permission to travel. Now you are asking for one more name to be included. Swami has not told me and I am not sure if we can do that. How can we allow her to travel with us? So Satyam Garu said, when Bhagwan gave me the list, there are only 50 names and I will go by this. But Achyutarama Garu said, but Swami told me. I know Swami has not told you, so what shall we do? And Satyam Garu said, see, I cannot go against what Bhagwan has told me. Yes, Swami would have told you to include one more name, but unless he tells me, if I include, I'm not sure if I'm following Bhagwan's directions to the T. So the best thing is we should just get this clarified from Bhagwan. Why don't we go to Swami? And so, even though it was late in the night, it was 10 in the night, Satyam Garu and Achyutaramaya Garu, they went to that bungalow where Bhagwan was. It was actually 4 kilometers away. And they reached there, even though it was late, and at that hour, nobody is allowed to meet Bhagwan. Swami is almost retired for the night in that guest house set up by Krishna Garu. But very interestingly, as they entered that bungalow and as they were asking Krishna Garu, seeking the audience of Bhagwan, because they needed to clarify something before the journey begins. Kantama Garu has to be told at least in the night, few hours before the journey, if she can travel. And so Krishna Garu told, okay, you can go if it is so urgent. And in fact, as they were going near Bhagwan's door to knock at Swami's door, Swami said, hey, Achyutaramaya, come inside. Achyutaramaya, come inside. It was almost as if Bhagwan was waiting for them to come. Bhagwan knows what was going on between both of them. Both of them are ardent devotees. Both of them want to listen to Bhagwan. Both of them want to be very careful in following Swami's instructions. Both of them do not want to in any way do anything that would displease Swami. Both of them are servitors who would just do anything that Bhagwan says to the T. And they presented their problem to Swami. Achyutaramaya Garu said, Swami, you told me to ask Kantamma Garu also to join with us to Bhadrachalam, but Satyam Garu says that in the list of 50 that you have given, her name is not there. What should we do? Swami said, oh, okay, give me the list. And Swami went through that list keenly. And Swami said, yes, I had told 50 names. Now, whom do we take out of this list? This person cannot be asked not to come. No, this person is important. Swami went through each name and Swami said, I don't know whom can be removed from this list. I don't think we can remove anyone from this list. And then Swami said, it's okay. You can add her as the 51st name. And that is how the problem was solved, and Achyutaramaya Garu and Nedumurthy Satyam Garu returned from Bhagwan's room with their hearts light and spring on their steps, absolutely sure about what they should be doing and fully confirmed that they are following Bhagwan's instructions. It's very interesting how these devotees of the Lord want to follow Bhagwan to the last letter. Nidamurthy Satyam Garu could have included Kantamma Garu's name. That would probably be the logical thing to do, because anyway Swami has told directly to Achyutaramaya Garu, include her name. But he wanted to check. He wanted to be very sure. If he is following Bhagwan's instructions, he did not want to take those decisions. He wanted Swami to take those decisions. I think never for a moment it occurred to him that Swami has made me the in charge. Now I can take this decision. It was always that I am his servant. I will just do whatever he wants me to do. There is no mind of my own and I don't want a mind of my own. I will just do only what he wants me to do. And because probably he was in this frame of mind, Bhagwan was waiting to listen. Even though it was late in the night, Bhagwan opened the door. Swami said, you come. And Bhagwan solved it in a manner that everybody is happy. And Kantamma Garu was so keen to travel to Bhadrachalam with Swami. She knew that she cannot increase Bhagwan's burden or Bhagwan's group as she likes. She had her son, little son, 12 years old boy, so she made arrangements. In the night itself, she had made arrangements for the boy to return home. She coached the boy which train to get in. She booked the tickets, made the boy sit in the train, in the direct train, and told the boy to go back and stay with the grandmother. Because she felt that when I am with Swami, I do not want to increase Bhagwan's concerns. If he gives me the permission to travel, I want to be liked so that I can travel with Bhagwan. That was her focus, and that is how her journey began with Bhagwan, the most memorable journey of being with Bhagwan, sailing with Bhagwan, smiling with Bhagwan in the waters, and traveling to the holy shrine of Bhadrachalam, the shrine of Bhadrachalam known for the beautiful love of Saint Ramadas. So that was the victory lap of Kantamma Garu, the victory of journeying with Bhagwan. So on the 26th of February 1964, Bhagwan and this team of 51 devotees started their journey, embarked into the motor boats and proceeded along the sacred river Godavari towards Bhadrachalam. Bhagwan's boat started from the guest house, from Dhauleshwaram, and the other boats started from Puskarala Revu. In fact, Swami reached the place where all the other devotees were there. There were in all 6 boats, one boat for women, one boat for men, one boat which had the vehicles, Bhagwan's car and other cars, which would be used after they alight from the boats in Bhadrachalam. There was one boat which was meant for other amenities, the kitchen, dining and everything. And there was a boat for all the boatmen. They had to go through the famous Godavari bridge, the truss bridge which spans the Godavari river, India's 3rd longest road come rail bridge. The bridge has a road deck over the single track railway deck, and it is in fact recognized as one of the symbols of Rajamahendravaram. This bridge is 4.1 kilometers, 2.8 kilometers by rail and 4.1 kilometers, which is there as road. So it's a mix of rail and road. And Bhagwan was to go under this bridge in these boats that were arranged by Krishnaya Garu. It was a journey for over 24 hours. And as they started off in the mornings, when they were close to Polavaram, everyone halted for lunch. In fact, Bhagwan would visit these different boats off and on, and Swami would describe to the devotees the beauty of the hills, the greenery, the ancient heritage of Godavari, the sacredness of all these places. All these places are so much connected with the epics, with Ramayana, with Mahabharata, and Swami would ask them to sing bhajans. In fact, Bhagwan came at 4 PM to the boat where all the women devotees were there, Kantamagaru and others, and Swami told them to start bhajans. There was also in the boat Srimati Jayamagaru, who was the former principal and the warden of the Anandpur campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. In fact, she was instrumental in the setting up of this beautiful institutions in a major way. She was the principal and the warden for many, many years. And she was a very good singer too. She was trained in Carnatic music, and Swami asked her to sing bhajans. Her husband Vitthal Rao was working in Rajamandri. And so Bhagwan would joke with Jayamma Garu, and Swami used to ask her to sing the Kirtanas of Purandara Dasa. And as she would sing, Swami would take 2 coconuts in his hand and Swami would hit them against each other. As he would do, one piece of coconut would break away and fall in the hand of a devotee. And Swami would say, "Take that as prasadam." So this is how Bhagwan was giving pieces of coconut to devotees. Swami would just take 2 coconuts, break them, and the piece that came off the coconut and fell into the hand of devotee, that was the prasadam for the devotee. This was Bhagwan's beautiful way of entertaining and filling these devotees with joy. He was doing his leelas as they were sailing on those beautiful waters. You can imagine the bliss of the devotees. Singing is going on. Bhagwan's leelas are going on. Bhagwan is blessing them with prasadam. Bhagwan is talking to them, joking with them. And as night approached, they would halt on small sand islands. So they halted. And then Swami asked these pandits and the scholars who were part of the group. There were many pandits in the group. Swami asked them to speak. In fact, on that island, they placed a small chair for Bhagwan and a table for Bhagwan. The dinner was served in that small island. And after the dinner, Swami asked all the devotees to retire back to their boats and take rest in the night. Swami did not want them to travel in the nights. Swami woke up himself early in the morning, 3 a.m., and Swami gave instructions as to how they should utilize the island and get ready for travel as the journey had to commence for the next day. And as the journey began and a new morning dawned, now this 6 boats were approaching what was called the Papikonda Hills. These hills stood tall on both sides with a small stream traveling in between, and they were called Papikonda Hills because this small stretch of stream was an invitation to danger because it was very narrow, and in fact if anyone would speak there would be resound echo. So generally no one was allowed to speak when they were traveling through that narrow strait. And after they crossed the Papikonda Hills, it was 8 a.m. and there was a dry bank. And Swami said, now we should stop for breakfast. In fact, in this group which was traveling with Bhagwan, Swami had also taken along with him his earthly mother, Mother Ishwaramma, as well as his older sister, Srimati Venkamma Garu. And as everyone settled down for breakfast, Bhagwan, who was dressed in white, he was looking so handsome in the backdrop of nature, in that breeze, playing with Swami's hair, and that mischievous smile of Bhagwan. Water below, sky above, and the beautiful scenery. You are in the boat with the Lord. Swami himself served upma to all the devotees on those dry bank, on the sands. And in fact, when Swami was serving his mother, Swami took upma and Swami took a handful. Swami made a ball out of it. Swami went to Mother Ishwaramma Garu and Swami told her, yeah, show me your palm. And as Mother Ishwaramma stretched her hands to receive that upma from Bhagwan's hand, Swami acted as if he's placing that upma in her hands, and Swami quickly put it in his mouth. And everyone was witness to that beautiful play of mischief, of Vatsalya Prema, of that beautiful beautiful relationship between Bhagwan and Mother. In fact, one of the pandits who was there, he said, Swami, what can I say? I'm reminded of Lord Krishna in Ripalle. Lord Krishna of Vrindavan, when he was herding the cattle, everyone would open their packets and they would eat broken rice. We are reminded of that as you are now doing this Leela with Ishwaramma. We are reminded how Krishna used to play with Yashoda and how Krishna used to play with his playmates on the sands of Vrindavan. We are here in the sands, on the banks of river Godavari. We have not seen Krishna, but we can experience that joy. We can relive those moments. We are blessed. So what if we have not seen Krishna of Vrindavan? We are seeing Sai Krishna on the banks of these beautiful waters. That is how Bhagwan filled their cups of joy, overflowing with bliss. And the journey continued till 7 p.m. in the night. There was the river Sabari Nadi, which came along. In fact, the same Sabari of Ramayana, it is believed, now flows in the form of river. The Sabari Nadi merges into Godavari, and from there on, Godavari becomes Akhanda Godavari. Sabari Nadi is a very strong river. When the huge gush of waters merge into River Godavari from the flow of Savari Nadi. Godavari swells and becomes Akhanda Godavari. These are those areas where Rama moved around in the forests on the banks of River Savari Nadi. In fact, they say even now there are those huts where Lord Rama stayed. Bhagavan was describing to these devotees of the Rama Avatara. And as they crossed this sacred Savari Nadi, they approached a place called Kunavaram. That's the area where the flow dwindles a little, the flow slows down. And so the boat stopped, because there were areas where the boat was touching the riverbed because of lack of flow of water. The depth was not much. So the people who were operating the boats, they were a little confused and perplexed as to the route that they should be taking. And it is at this point that Bhagavan came out of his boat and Swami started giving instructions to the drivers how to maneuver the boats around this low flow area. And following Bhagavan's directions, the boat drivers navigated these boats safely. By 7 p.m. they were at a sandy island. And Bhagavan said, "Now we will have dinner." It was a full moon day and all of them congregated on that island. When they offered a chair to Swami, Swami said, no, I want to sit on the ground. They put a mat for Bhagavan on the sand. Swami said, no, I will just sit on the sands. So it was like Bhagavan was there in the midst of sands and all the people are there around Bhagavan on the sand. And Bhagavan now started playing with the sand. Just like kids play with sand. And we have seen some videos. We have heard some of these stories that happened on the banks of Chitravati. And now Swami was making this sands into little mounds of sand. And even as everyone was watching with wonder what Swami is making, what was in coming out of that sand mound, Swami made a pyramid-shaped sand mound and Swami made a gopuram design, and everyone was watching this divine artistry with wonder, with expectation, with anticipation, with joy. And suddenly Swami said, "Completed, done, I am done now." And then Swami put his index finger into that mound and out came a big chunk of sugar candy. And the most interesting thing, not even a single granule of sand was stuck to that sugar candy. And Swami now broke that sugar candy into little pieces. And all pieces were of equal sizes. And in none of the pieces there was a speck of sand. It was totally 15 in number. Swami called the boatmen. There were 15 boatmen who were guiding the boats and making the journey smooth for all the boats. Swami called all of them and Swami gave to each one of them this sugar candy that he had materialized from the sands. And along with that, Swami created a bunch of pictures which had his image, and Swami distributed these sugar pieces and the photographs to all the boatmen who were fortunate to drive the boats which carried God and his devotees. Swami gave them Pad Namaskaram. Of course, they were in the 17th heaven, as they say. And again, Bhagavan went back to drawing something on the sand. Now there was some other design that was being made. And again, lo and behold, there was this meditation beads that came out of the sand. And Bhagavan called the mother of Nedamarthi Satyam Garu. She was 80 years old. Her name was Annapurna Garu. Swami gave her these meditation beads. Again Bhagwan went back to divine artistry. And now out of the sands emerged, to everyone's amazement, the padukas of Sri Rama, the sacred footwear of Sri Rama. And Bhagwan gave it to the daughter of Annapurna Garu, the sister of Satyam Garu, and Swami told her, do daily worship to these padukas of Lord Sri Rama. They were journeying to the shrine of Sri Rama, and Bhagwan was blessing her with the padukas of Sri Rama. Then Swami called one of the pandits and asked, who is your favorite god? Who is your Ishta Devata? And the pandit said, Swami, you know everything, Swami. Is there anything that I need to tell you? And Swami waved his hand and created a silver idol of Raj Rajeshwari, the divine mother. It was a 3 feet tall idol. Swami gave it to this pandit. There was another pandit, and Swami asked, you tell me, who is your favorite god? And this pandit also kept quiet. Swami's hand went up in the air once again, and out came a round locket which contained Bhadradi Rama, Lakshmana and Sita. The Rama, Lakshmana, Sita of Bhadrachalam, they were like idols inserted inside the locket. Bhagwan gifted Rama, Lakshmana and Sita to this pandit. In fact, Swami showed these idols to all the devotees there, everyone in the team, 51 of them. Swami described, see how Mother Sita's hair is braided. Look at how beautiful she is. Look at her nose. Look at her face. How gracious she is. Everyone there did not know whether to look at the beauty of Bhagwan's leelas, to look at his creations, or look at the creator. And Swami said, you are so lucky. You are looking at Lord Rama and you are looking at the hand of Sai Rama. You are twice blessed. Swami said, you snatched two chances. You are so fortunate. And that is how it was. They were looking at the hand which created everything, as well as the beautiful creation that had just materialized. Professor Kasturi describes, it was not a pilgrimage, because the goal was ever present in the midst. You're not going anywhere in a pilgrimage. You go to a pilgrimage place, but the goal was there all the time with you. It was not a picnic, because it was a journey charged with divine impulses. There was satsang going on, bhajans going on, leelamritam going on. It was a floating prashant nilayam, Professor Kasturi says. You are going through bhavasagaram. The waters are like bhavasagaram, and you are going along with your guru, along with guru charanam, along with the feet of the guru who will take you across the bhavasagaram. You are going through bhavasagaram. And he says, the boats moving along with their shadows beneath them, along the broad waters of Godavari, winding about in search of depth. What an unforgettable experience it was. In fact, Professor Kasturi breaks into a beautiful poem in the Sanatana Sarathi of 1964. He says, the stars awoke in their beds of cloud. They rubbed their eyes and peered adown. The stars spread along the firmament. The pallid moon in her silver throne, the moon in her silver throne, she heard, she rose, and all the sky was bright. The flocks of flowers, the birds, they roamed about, they flew far in fright. There, there, they said, they were thrilled with joy. Their eyes were filled with happy tears. They felt a waft of perfume soft. It was like when Krishna sat on Yamuna's moonlit sands. The same they had all breathed when Rama sailed on the waters of Sarayu. Where the angels crowded around, between the jungled hills, the bouldered banks, along the curves and arcs by Godavari carved on earth. Ah, there he is, encircled by faith, adored, admired, there on the silvery sand, the Lord, let us sing his praise. There is Baba, who is there? Oh, what great luck! He has sailed with his load of joy to bless these barren banks, scattering smiles and showering gems of grace. For 2 full days along the path of sacred swells, he speaks, the words are full of seeds for souls. He sings, the music sprouts into faith and hope. He plays a while with his fingers in the sands, and lo, there emanate whatever he wills, this vision of God he grants to all the chosen souls. The star stared alone. He rose and he left, the boat sailed on with fluttering flags and exhilarated hearts that had a glimpse of God. The moon relapsed so sad and pale, a pathos darkened all the skies. Something had changed. He's describing now how Bhagwan left the shores. And when he landed on the shore, the car sped on to Bhadrachalam. All the hills now were thrilled and delighted. The earth did heave in joy because the Lord was moving on. So that is how Professor Kasturi describes the journey of Bhagwan to Bhadrachalam. And many beautiful things happened when Bhagwan reached Bhadrachalam. After the journey on the waters, there was another 10 kilometers that was made on the road in cars and buses. And what happened in Bhadrachalam? What happened when Bhagwan went to this sacred town? And what did Swami tell Suryakantamma garu before they reached Bhadrachalam? And what was the unforgettable experience of Kantamma garu in Bhadrachalam? We will come to that. We will come to that and many more beautiful tales of this beautiful odyssey of Bhagwan to Bhadrachalam in February of 1964. We will continue this in the coming episodes. It was a great joy, dear listeners, sharing with you. We'll continue this journey of Bhagwan's life through the reminiscences of Suryakantamma garu in the coming episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org, or you can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. With gratitude and love, I offer this little offering at his lotus feet. Thank you so much. Sairam.